It may surprise people that, in the early days of automobiles, electric power dominated. In 1900, combustion engines were fussy, inefficient, smelly, and offered feeble power. Electricity had none of these disadvantages. It was silent, reliable, odorless, and surprisingly powerful. However, the spark ignition, gasoline, engine improved rapidly and began to dominate within 20 years. The invention of the electric starter, by Cadillac in 1912, quickly buried the electric car. Electric vehicles re-emerged after the Second World War, powering small commercial vehicles, particularly those making low-speed deliveries. By the 1950s, most of the world's electric vehicles were British milk floats. Traveling at less than 25 kilometers per hour, they trundled around British streets in early morning, quietly delivering dairy products door to door before people were awake. Prior to returning to Canada in 1988, my wife and I had milk, in reusable glass bottles, delivered to our door every morning. The first serious battery electric car in the modern era was the General Motors EV1-1, 117 were made between 1996 and 1999. Initial range, on lead-acid batteries, was just 115 to 160 kilometers. Nickel-metal hydride batteries improved this to 190 to 230 kilometers. GM leased these cars and decided to scrap them all, despite the protest of loyal drivers. By 2004, all but 40 remained in museums. A variety of electric vehicles appeared on the market, but failed to sell well. Mercedes Smart was an early entrant in 1998, and continues to be sold worldwide, although North American sales ended in 2019. Tesla marketed its first vehicle, a Roadster, in 2008, but it sold poorly. The Nissan Leaf appeared in 2010. Like the Smart, it offered affordable electric motoring. Tesla introduced its Model S in 2012 and the Model X in 2015. Both were bestsellers despite a premium price. A large selection of electric vehicles appeared in Europe, unavailable here. Most were small and sell well there. Today, almost all manufacturers have electric models for sale or will have in the near future. Here, the majority are SUVs and pickup trucks. Their large size makes it easier to find space for the battery. The higher price of pickups and SUVs makes it easier to sell electric versions at a profit. The electric Mini Cooper SE is one of the few small electric cars available here. The Nissan Leaf and GM Bolt are somewhat larger. The push for electric vehicles came from governments, particularly California and China, wishing to reduce carbon emissions. With China's enormous market, it is not surprising their manufacturers make far more electric cars than any other country. BYD, a Chinese company few North Americans have heard of, recently overtook Tesla as the world's top producer of electric vehicles. Today, many companies offer electric models, most not available in North America. China's electric car industry includes many brands unfamiliar to North Americans, Great Wall, Leapmotor, Dongfeng, Geely and others, but whose low-cost factories will threaten Western companies if they enter the North American marketplace. After a promising start, sales of electric cars in North America appear to have stalled. Their premium price is partly responsible. Range anxiety is high among North American buyers. Many worry their daily commute may exceed the capability of most affordable electric cars. Others simply don't like them. Electric cars attack the problem of carbon emissions. Sadly, some people still deny this issue. Others might agree that curbing carbon emissions is important, but argue Canadians are responsible for just a tiny proportion. Still, as a wealthy country, we need to show leadership. Switching to electric cars will not solve one of our region's major problems, traffic congestion in and around the GTA. Whether this traffic is fossil-fueled or electric makes no difference to the huge hit traffic jams inflicts on the GTA's economy, pegged at $6 billion to $11 billion annually. Looking out over the gap in Sunnydale Road over the busy Highway 400, it is clear that enlarging our highways will not fix our traffic issue, our long-distance commutes into North America's worst jam. The only solution is fast, reliable, comfortable public transport, electrified rail, no batteries needed. For those of us who do not commute into the GTA, the way our urban areas sprawl makes the private car attractive, and those cars should be electric. After a decade of driving electric cars, I applaud the move away from fossil fuels. Electricity is a far better way to power personal transport. The smooth, quiet power of an electric car is astonishing. Knowing there is far less to service should impress, too. No oil or filter, no ignition system, few moving parts, and little brake wear because regenerative, electric, braking does most of the work. Finally, power comes from moving electrons, not burning fuel. And electricity costs far less. I have been driving a Mini Cooper SE, battery electric car, for 3.5 years. Its fuel costs $0.035 per kilometer. I also have a Mini Cooper convertible. Its gasoline consumption averages 7.5 liters per 100 kilometers, which translates to 11 cents per kilometer for fuel, over 3 times more expensive. For those people who believe that "ax the tax" will change their lives, let me pop that bubble. The carbon tax on gasoline is $0.0143 per liter, just 9.5% of the total price. Canceling the carbon charge would decrease the cost of fuel for the Mini convertible from 11 cents to 10 cents per kilometer, so hardly worth making a fuss. And check your bank account. You get the money back as a direct deposit, quarterly. The elephant in the room is insurance. The cost of insuring the electric Mini is an astonishing 93% of my running cost. If you truly want to save money, looking at government and insurers here, find a way to reduce that cost. We would appreciate a fix to high insurance rates far more than costly beer at convenience stores. There is a perception that lithium batteries in electric cars present a serious fire risk. That idea came from fires linked to kick scooters, e-bikes, and hoverboards. But statistics simply don't support it. Transport Canada reports around 10,000 car fires every year, some caused by arson. A Swedish study counted 20 fires in their fleet of 611,000 electric cars, 0.0033%, and 3,400 fires in 4.4 million fossil fuel cars, 0.077%, every year. In other words, the risk of fire in an electric car is very low, about 4% of the risk in a fossil fuel car. It's truly negligible. No statistics seem to be available for Barrie or for the GTA, however. My final thought is around the type and size of vehicle Canadians buy. We gravitate toward SUVs and pickup trucks, which now dominate new vehicle sales. Heavy, with four-wheel drive and large tires, their fuel consumption is 20% greater than a sedan or station wagon of comparable size. Manufacturers push us to buy these vehicles simply because they are more profitable. You can complain about high fuel prices, or you could save far more by opting for a car instead of an SUV. The same is happening with electric vehicles. There are few modestly sized sedans or hatchbacks on offer. Again, larger SUVs are more profitable, and they require more energy to operate. If you are among those people reluctant to try an electric car, consider that within a decade dealerships may have no new gasoline-powered vehicles to show you, only second-hand ones. And those will run out, too.